3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Exfabula!
True personal story.
Exfabula!
Exfabula is a Milwaukee nonprofit committed to strengthening community bonds through the art of storytelling.
And we are here once again with Exfabula Radio, part of Lake Effect Weekend on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Bruce Winter. Leah Delaney is here, and she brings the stories and the theme every week. And what's up this week?
This week is Breaking Boxes, an identity summit, which we will be participating as one of our fellowship events. Before we jump into the stories and such, did you by chance see the Milwaukee Reps play Disgraced?
No.
Neither did I, and I'm really, really sorry I didn't, because Pulitzer Prize winning, it's come and gone, and it was just a wonderful, really strong piece. And it was based upon identity in labels and how your identity shapes your surroundings and yourself. And with that, Disgraced was a perfect vehicle for the rep to use that as part of like some of their post-show facilitated discussions, of which Exfabula is going to be taking part in. And that's what Breaking Boxes and Identity Summit is all about. So today I brought a couple stories revolving around labels and prejudgment and everything in that nature. So let's just jump right into the stories. Alexis Cardo, who is one of our Exfabula fellows, told her story at Unconscious Bias in 2016. So let's listen to Alexis.
So I am a firm believer in the concept that, like, if you match your passion with your purpose when it comes to the job that you have, that you will feel maximum fulfillment. So my ultimate passion and purpose is working with youth. So once upon a time, I had a job at an after-school program. And any of you guys who, if you've been a latchkey kid, if you've seen your kids to after-school programs, you know what that looks like. 100 hungry kids running around crazy, backpacks lost, all the above. I had an incident where I had two young men call themselves funny to misplace snack. So they took from me about snack for 80 kids, hid it somewhere in the school, and ultimately security was able to help me find the snacks on a stairwell abandoned. I let the young men know that in order to return to after-school programming, both of them were student athletes, that they needed to provide me with a letter of apology, and that apology needed to explain why what they did, how it affected, you know, the program running. So one of my young men did it right away. No issue at all, got it to me, apologized sincerely. The other young man involved, not so much. I was actually on him for a couple of weeks on, hey, where is this? He'd lurk around the program with his basketball, and I'd say, you can't participate because you haven't done what I've asked you to. Fast forward, I end up getting a call before programming started, not too long after, from Mom. So Mom and I talk on the phone, we exchange pleasantries, all is well. I let her know, you know, she has a great kid. If anything, he did something that a knucklehead would, and that once he does what I ask him, he's free to return to the program. So fast forward the following day, I get a page from security on the walkie-talkie that a parent's there to speak to me. And I'm walking up. So as I'm walking up the stairwell and kind of looking down the hallway as to who's here for me, I see this woman who, by all accounts, is fabulous. I like to be around fabulous people. So between her dress, her style, her energy, her look, I ultimately felt like we could be friends. So walking up, you know, my assumption is all will be well. I end up seeing her son get right next to her, and I say, oh, I get it. This is Mom. So one of the protocols of our programming was the idea that if you ever ran into an incident where behavior was being discussed, that security would watch and make sure that the conversation stayed right and that we do it in a conference room. So we go into the conference room. Mom's on one side, kids in the center, security is on one side, I'm on the other end of the table. Before I actually had the opportunity to sit down, Mom slams her hands on the table, stands up tall, and says, you whitewashed bitch. This voice of mine has always been labeled as a white thing, a white benefit. I speak well amongst my community. I always get told, girl, there you go, talking all white. And, well, I was going to say a curse word. Maybe I shouldn't. amongst people who are white when I talk, in jobs specifically, I've always been the token. The one that if they want me on the airwaves, they'll put me. If they want me to say something, if they want me to take a picture next to something, they always pick me because I'm a great representation, because I'm black, but I'm not black. So I'm going to wrap up my story, because after mom said whitewash bitch, she went from someone who I found appealing that I could probably hang out with because she looked very fabulous like myself, to a teen mom. I mean, let's keep it real. You have a kid who's taller than you. It's clear and evident that you're not much older than me. So if I'm a whitewash bitch lady, you're a teen mom. My story ends in mom left, security escorted her out, and the young man actually did end up writing me that letter of apology down the line, and he actually graduated high school with honors, went away to college, and all was well. He and I's communication was fabulous, but I have to take in some things for myself from that experience. Is one, the idea of perception. As I mentioned, I went from whitewash bitch, because I'm pretty sure when mom originally called, she might have thought I was a white woman on the phone, and when she saw someone who looked very much like her, I turned into a bitch. I myself, same thing. When we had our altercation and I was a bitch, she became a teen mom. At the end of the day, with all the things going on in the world right now, sometimes we judge our youth and we think that, you know, they're the issue. We gotta start with the parents first and foremost. Another thing I learned is I didn't know voice had a color, but apparently it does. So all this layout of this is this and this is black and you are white and so on and so forth, we don't think that we do it, but there is a lot of negative things we do when it comes to that. And so ultimately, I just want to leave you guys with the idea that, you know, when you go and you label and you think one thing about someone, just know that there's a story behind them. And while AT&T might have thought I was my mom at 9 years old, now I'm a grown up and they're still calling me, trying to get me to pay the bill. So thank you much.
And that was Alexis Carter, one of our Exfabula fellows, who told her story at Unconscious Bias.
As I was listening to that, Leah, the story fits in well with what we've been doing on the air here all week with our Desegregation Matters series. And one of the causes of segregation in communities is fear of others. And you have said this in the past on this show, and that is that we have our own stories, and if we share them with each other, we open the book, and that fear of our differences begins to fade. Mm-hmm. And I think we all carry these unconscious biases with us.
Right.
But if we get to know each other, you know, those differences disappear.
Yeah. Every human being is a blank slate.
Right.
And everybody deserves their voice and your ears.
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about. So
good story.
Yes, definitely.
More about the breaking boxes.
Yeah. So breaking boxes, as we mentioned before, we're part of the Identity Summit with the Zeidler Center for Public Discussion. That's going to be held on Sunday, March 12th. So that will be from 2 to 5 p.m. And we're also opening up the floor here. We're going to have a couple of stories from our fellows, per usual, at our fellowship events. And then we're going to break out and have smaller discussion groups so everybody can feel a little bit potentially more safer to discuss their personal identities and how we find ourselves in our everyday lives dealing with our own or with others.
Is this something I have to pre-register for?
You most definitely do. It's free and open to the public, but I got to tell you, the fellowship events have been really... they've been getting a lot of great traction in Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. So it's really, everybody would be doing themselves good justice by going and pre-registering right away whenever they see a fellowship event, because those have been potentially selling out. I mean, they're free, but.
Yeah, there's not room for everybody. And with the topics that you guys are tackling, it's no wonder that, like you said, it's gaining a lot of traction.
Yeah, and I'm glad. I'm very, very happy about that. Yeah. Sure. So we're hoping that people will go to exfabula.org for more information on that. But before we go, we have another story. This one is from Kate Miller, who told her story at Risking It at a story slam that we had back in September. So let's listen to Kate Miller.
My risk is right here, right now, in this moment. It's an old risk. It's a recycled risk. It's a risk I took 15 years ago in a women's group when I introduced myself this way. Hi, my name is Kate Miller. I'm a terrific cook. Well, it's true, I am. I am indeed. I'm an animal lover. I'm a person with mental illness. I'm a political activist. And I like art. The atmosphere changed. It became quiet. You could hear a pin drop. There was a feeling of fear, disgust, and a soupçon of admiration. Women I had been laughing with just a few minutes before over coffee turned their backs on me. Women I had celebrated weddings and birthdays with never spoke to me again. A few called me later and thanked me for my disclosure. But everyone, every single one, distanced themselves from me forevermore. For, should they have had contact with me when they were seen with me with mental illness? A person who is to be feared. Perhaps a criminal, most of us are, aren't we? So it was catastrophic, truly. Friendships ended. My social world collapsed. Professional connections disappeared. But it didn't ruin my life. That's a choice. And it is a choice I refuse to make, no matter how hard it gets. And so, why am I doing this today if it was such a catastrophe before? Because I hear people talking about us. There are so many experts about mental illness. But I so rarely hear the voices of those of us who live with mental illness. I speak, certainly not for my tribe members, because they should always be speaking for themselves. But I contribute a voice from my community. And that's all that I can do. And it seems odd to me that this should be a risk, when there is no risk to me in sharing the fact that I'm a type 1 diabetic. No risk at all. I can flash my insulin pump to you and you won't be at all offended. Nobody will be offended. But telling you that I'm bipolar is quite a different thing. And being bipolar, I can tell you, is far worse than being type 1 diabetic, even though my introduction to type 1 diabetes was a near-death experience, and I didn't see Jimi Hendrix. But I tell my story because it's one we don't hear, perhaps, very often. You know, as a diabetic, it's so easy to be diagnosed. Finger stick. A test that costs a dollar takes a minute. There are plenty of doctors. You can see your family doctor, maybe endocrinologists, our specialists are readily available. And if I want to go to the hospital, if I feel ill, I go. Simple as that. As a person with bipolar, it's a little different. Diagnosis is not so easy. Doctors are hard to find. There are very few doctors who take my insurance and accept new patients. Thank you so very much.
And that was Kate Miller's story from Risking It, a story slam that we had back in September. So we do have another particular announcement. Speaking of our story slams,
yeah,
we have another one coming up next week. We're closing in. This is our March event. Then we have one more April, and then we hit the All-Stars.
The All-Star Show.
Yes, yes. So we are having our story slam on Wednesday, March 15th. The theme is acquired taste, so Milwaukee can start jogging their minds about that. If you are interested in purchasing tickets for the Story Slam of Acquired Taste, you can definitely go to exfabula.org for that.
All right. And if you want to hear these stories again or share them or go back and revisit some past Exfabula radio shows that we have done, they are at WUWM.com. Thank you for listening. Thanks for bringing the stories, Leah.
Thank you very much, Bruce.
Okay. See you next time.